very, very... It's mentioned a pasuk in the... This is Parsha. Zayin pasuk Dalet, the Torah tells us that Hashem is going to bring the mud. And it's a very, very, very striking pasuk. The Torah says, Vayom HaShem Moshe, Hineni mamtir lachem min hashamayim. I'm going to rain down mud from the heavens. The Yotza Ha'am, and the nation's going to go out. V'loktu dvar yom b'yomo. Every single day to collect the man. L'man anasenu hayelich b'torasi imlo. And the reason I'm going to send this man is l'man anasenu. Because I want to give the Jewish people a test, and he saw it. Hayelich in torasi imlo. Whether they're going to follow my Torah, yes or no. And all of the mafarshim bothered by the obvious question, which one of the miracles in Mitzrayim in the Midbar was the greatest of all miracles by far? Eser Makos were tremendous. Kriyas Yamsuf was tremendous. But the Mon was the only miracle that lasted for a full 40 years. Not just a week or a period of time. And not only that, it was a miracle inside of another miracle. 5 days, one portion fell. The second, on the fifth, on the sixth day, a double portion. On Shabbos, nothing. Nes b'toch nes, an internal pattern for 40 years. The Sefer HaKuzari rewrites this was the greatest miracle of all time. Yet the Torah says, I'm giving them the man, ha'ilech b'torasim lo, as l'man anasenu, as a test. And the question is obvious. What is the test of the month? What is Hashem testing the Jewish people about? I want to share with you three quick pshat. Pshat number one is Rashi, and Rashi says the test was Hashem doesn't give things for free. There was embedded in the man a test. After all, there are halachos with the man. Not to go out and leave from one day to the next. Not to go out to collect on Shabbos. There were halachos associated with the man. The man wasn't a test. It was the ancillary commandments linked to the man. Just like, for example, I might at my kitchen table give my kids food, but I have also certain, if you will, requirements at mealtime. I want the kids using a fork and a knife. I'd like them to say please and thank you. I'd like them to make brachos. There's certain mitzvos associated with mealtime. And that was the test. That's Rashi. The Ramban says something very beautiful. He says, the test of the man, imagine, you're in the desert. There's no water. There's no food for miles upon miles. And every single night, Klal Yisrael goes to sleep with no source of sustenance. No animals, no food. Every single night the cupboards are empty. And to go to sleep with a sense of bitachon, that Hashem is going to provide tomorrow just like He provided today, just like He provided yesterday. A sense of bitachon b'Hashem. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin Vav tells us, the Talmidim asked Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, why is it that Hashem provided man every day? Why not just send beginning of the year a boatload of man and they can live off of that man for the entire year? Why every single day did Hashem supply man? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, let me give you a mashal. And the mashal is, imagine a king who has a son. And the son has an allowance that he gets from the king. Every single week, Friday, the king gives him his allowance. Son approaches the king and said, Dad, thank you for the allowance. But maybe we could just make a new arrangement. Instead of every week, I would like it once a year. Once a year, give me the money, I'll pick it up annually. Says the king, you don't understand. I'm giving it to you every week. Because I want you to come to me every week. I want a relationship with you. I want you to visit me on a weekly basis. I want to say hello, catch up, have a connection to you. If I go ahead and give it to you once a year, that's it. The check is written, and I don't see you anymore. I want to connect with you. I want a relationship. So you get it every week, so we can link. Hashem gave the man every single day, not once a year. Because Hashem wanted to connect to his people. And he also wanted us to understand this idea of bitachon, to rely that everything we have in our world, our parnasa, our health, everything we have comes from Hashem, and a person has to live his life with a vision that you do your hishtadlus, you have to do your part, but at the end of the day, Hashem is the provider. And all too often, we get ourselves very, very confused, and we think it's all me. It's all about me, and therefore when I choose my university studies, all that matters is getting into that top college, which is going to guarantee me that best graduate school, which is going to guarantee me that best job. And all that matters is what I do. Says the Ramban, hold on. Bitachon b'Hashem, realize that at the end of the day, everything that we have comes from Ribono Shel Olam. And a person has to live his life with that cognition. We have to do our part, no doubt. Absolutely. We don't live in a world of miracles. We have to do our part. When you make those crucial decisions in your lives, when you get to those crossroads, this university or that university, this Shana Bet, not Shana Bet, and if everything I'm driven by is, it's all up to me, it's all in my hands, we're making a big mistake. Bitachon b'Hashem, Hashem is a player. And therefore, when you make your decisions in life throughout, ask yourself, as I heard from Rav Warren once, ask yourself, at least in your litany of your calculus of how you're making decision, you ask yourself, was wilt Gott? What does God want from me? What does Hashem want from me? A boteach b'Hashem certainly has that question in his list of criteria. But the third pshat of the Nisarim is by far my favorite. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, you know what the Nisarim of the man was? You know what the test was? Mr. Wiener, can I put you on the spot? You work for a living?
A little bit.
A little bit? Or a lot?
12 hours a day.
How many hours a day?
12 to 13.
12 to 13. Wow. That's intense. And Mr. Wiener, do you have to commute to work, or that's
12 minutes.
So another 24 minutes. So you're putting in a 12 and a half to 13 and a half hour day with commute.
7 days a week.
7 days a week? Holy smokes. 91 hours a week you're working approximately. Out of 168 hours a week. I used to be a lawyer back in the good old days.
You didn't work on Shabbos.
I didn't work on Shabbos only for one reason. Because I was Shomer Shabbos. Had I not been Shomer Shabbos, as some of my colleagues weren't, I would have been a 7 day a week or two. I had a big schus, only 6 days a week. It was Mamash's sweatshop. Mamash. I used to work when I was in the corporate department, which I got out of very quickly. I used to work. There was a period of time where I didn't get home from the office on any day over a 7 week straight period before 3 a.m. Three times in that period of time, I had to call one of my friends, bring my tefillin in, because I had to pull in all nighters. 6 days a week, the people on my team that were working with me, they were working 7 days a week only because I was Shomer Shabbos. You know how many hours I built? Those 6 weeks, you don't want to know. But 18-hour days, 6 days a week, it was mamish. I called my chavrusa in the beginning. There's no one else here. We're just talking. I called my chavrusa and I told him the first day I can't make it tonight. Second day, can't make it tonight. Third day, it was like
And at the end of the day, I just said, I'll call you when I can make it. 6 weeks straight, I didn't see my kids, I didn't see my wife, nothing. Mom is unbelievable. Anyway, people work very, very hard. The average person, they talk about, they'll work 9 to 5. 9 to 5, my friends, is a joke. No one today works 9 to 5. The average person is getting to work early, leaving late, he's commuting for an hour plus, he's working very, very hard. Might be making a lot of money, might not be, but he's definitely working hard. 9 to 5 is secretaries. Anyone who is any profession other than a secretary is putting in a lot more hours than 9 to 5. So what does that do with the money? It's exactly this. The Or HaChaim said, you know what Hashem gave the Jewish people when he gave them money? He gave them the most precious, the most valuable gift that exists in this world. He gave them the gift of time. Because the amount of time your parents, fathers, mothers put in to put food on your table, to send you to yeshivas, to send you to college, to give you all the things that Baruch Hashem you have, takes every minute of their waking day, is devoted to that mission. And Hashem said to the Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, it's on me. I'll take care of all your needs, your food needs, your clothing, your shelter, it's on me. And I'm giving you the gift of time. You know what their nisayon was? Their nisayon was, Hailech b'torasi imlo. I'm giving you time. What are you going to do with that time? It wasn't the money that was the nisayon. It was the gift of time. How are you going to use that time? If there is any modern day Ochle Haman, modern day people that are given manna from heaven, that are given time, it's boys and yeshiva. You have no responsibilities whatsoever. There are no tests in yeshiva, unfortunately. You don't have to worry about your food taken care of. You don't have to worry about anything. You got your parents' credit cards, ATM, whatever, it's all taken care of. All your parents have given you is the most valuable gift in the world. And that's the gift of time. And your nisayon is the nisayon of the Ochle Haman. Hailech b'torasi imlo. And so many of us, unfortunately, squander time. We take this asset that is irreplaceable. $10, you can find another $10. But 5:55 on Thursday afternoon, on this day, February 2nd, if you waste that minute, it's never coming back. It's the most valuable asset in the world. The Pittsburgh Rebbe in Ashdod has in his office a very old cuckoo clock. It's very noisy. And as it secondhand goes, it ticks a loud tick-tock. Tick-tock. And one of his chassidim once came in and said, Rebbe, I brought you a gift. And he brought him one of these really sleek, silver, atomic digital clocks. Really smooth. You don't have to set it. It's all like GPS link, satellite link, really sleek, really smooth. And the Pittsburgh Rebbe said to his chassid, thank you very much, but I don't want it. I like my cuckoo clock. Because as I sit in my office and I hear the tick-tock, the seconds pass, it always makes me realize and be sensitive to my limitations. That time is finite. That I'm not on this world forever, and every second that passes is meaningful, is valuable, is something that's irreplaceable. That sleek digital clock is really nice, but it doesn't remind me of the passage of time, the inexorable passage of time. And that's something that I need, that I want. I told my shir, back when I was a lawyer, we had an unbelievable thing. You had to record your hours. You had to go ahead and build a client. And the client got billed based on how many hours you worked. That's how clients pay the bill. So I work, I come into the office in the morning, and I work for a client. I put in an hour and 32 minutes for a certain client. 92 minutes. Every single day I had to fill out a timesheet. 92 minutes, I had to account for every 6 minutes of my day. If I worked for a client for an hour and 12 minutes, the client got billed 1.2 hours. If I worked for another client for 2 hours and 46 minutes, we rounded up. 2 points, help me out, 8 hours. 2 hours and 42 minutes, 2.7 hours, 2 hours and 40 minutes, 38 minutes, we would round down. We did it fair. We're always on the clock. I'm working for a client, my wife calls, can't build that time. In the bathroom, can't build the time. Lunch, can't build the time. Mincha, can't build the time. I got a phone call from a client. He tells me, do me a favor, turn off the meter. Everything is built. And it's a tremendous muster hastil to account for every 6 minutes of your lives. Imagine doing it. A timesheet. You're in the base medrash. You're learning. Are you learning? Is it all billable? 2 hours Seder? Is it instrumental basketball? Or is it billable time? Is it all being used? How much of the time are we using? The gift of time is so, so profound. Zucker spoke about Shana Bet, about what it's all about. I just want to add 4 minutes of thought, really to echo his comments. Your parents have given you the most valuable gift in the world. And you have to use it. Value the big gift of time. That freedom to explore your essence, to explore Yahadus, to explore the Torah, HaKadosh, Torah Hashem. Something that is an unbelievable, unbelievable gift that they've given you. And Zucker is absolutely correct. I spoke to someone yesterday, and we were talking about yeshiva. And you have different boys who come in with different goals. And some do come in with real goals. I want to improve in this area. I want to improve in this area. I want to improve my brachos in my davening. I want to improve my skills in learning. Improve, improve, improve. I want to come out better. And every single person in this room, there's no doubt in my mind, as I look at your faces, is not one person in this room who thus far has not improved and has not become better in different areas. Not one person. And that's tremendous. What yeshiva is really all about, and certainly Shana Bet, is not just improvement, but it's transformation. It is how I look at the world. What is the prism, the eyeglasses through which I look at the world? A Ben Torah, when he makes his decisions in life, when he goes, a Ben Torah makes a decision where to go on vacation. Is there a minyan? Is there not a minyan? That's part of his calculus. When a Ben Torah decides where he wants to raise his children, Torah, halacha, a Torah set of values is certainly part of his calculus. It's not just about improving. When he decides who he's going to be friends with, who his chevra is, it's built on the prism. And what does Hashem want? And the truth is, we see it all the time. And again, I don't want to chazer what Rav Zucker said, but he's right. We see it all the time. That boys who spend the time, building a hashkafa, that's a Torah-based hashkafa, becoming a Ben Torah informs everything that they do. And they speak differently. The language they use, maybe in the past there were curses in their lexicon, those disappear. Lashon Hara disappears. A sense of focus in what is really important. Shana Aleph, just to give one last mashal, we're all told in the mikvah. And we're working on ourselves. But we all know, we're told well, with Sheretz B'yada. We still have in our hands a lot of some of the negatives, the tumah, and therefore the immersion is not complete. When a person invests his moser nefesh and enables himself to focus singularly with an elite group of guys, not just doing what everyone does, Shana Aleph, everyone does Shana Aleph, and he says, I'm going to step up, I'm going to become elite, with an elite chevra, with a special chevra, I'm going to do more than what is expected, all of a sudden, life takes on a new purpose, a new focus, and then that transformation of good guy working on himself to Ben Torah is so often complete. And again, the proof is not where we are today. The proof is take a survey of every single yeshiva and look 3-4 years down the line of where the guys are at who stayed Shana Bet and where the guys are at who stayed Shana Aleph. Just the tens, the trends. The tendency is, statistically speaking, there are always exceptions. But statistically speaking, those who are moser nefesh makes all the difference in the world. In a couple of weeks' time, we're going to roll out specifics. This is more general. Specifics of what we have in mind. Bez Hashem will be a nice size Shana Bet. Perhaps 2 Shana Bet Shiurim. Special things in the afternoon, night, different things. We have a very creative and special ideas, not for now. For now, I just want you to think. To think about life, what's chashuv, what's not chashuv, the direction we're all heading. And I also want to give you and myself a bracha, because I'm going on a trip for a little bit. And my most important bracha is for you guys to use these weeks, not so many weeks left until Purim, not so many weeks left till Pesach, to use these weeks well, to understand the lesson of the month. Hailech b'Torah Sim Lo, to take that gift of time, that's such a special gift that you have, to go ahead and maximize it, to use it well, to find your areas of growth and build yourself into the B'nai Torah that you are, that you have within inside of you. And Be'ez Hashem, you all accomplish that goal. I wish everyone a good chance.